spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome, my friends, to Mr. Visible's neighborhood. Here in the saucer pod, gliding in silence above it all, with nothing but smoke attending the promise of fire. Promises along with the implication of threats attending the impetus toward opposition of any kind in the face of relentless focus without direction toward the plunder of dust. Yeah. And garbage glittering under the Armageddon disco lights of a metrosexual passion for plastic and polyurethane. It's a kind of twisted love that turned the Gulf of Mexico into salmonella soup. It's the kind of wasted what the hell that sees one dead person as a crime and a million dead bodies as a work of art. This may seem a little strange for a little bit of the broadcast, but bear with me. May not seem like I'm going anywhere. That's quite possible. Anyway, strange days, yeah, have definitely found us in a sort of je suis perdu sort of a way. I was supposed to go to a solstice party this weekend. I go every year. It's pretty much my favorite event in the usual year of non-events, at least in the terms most people measure their level of excitement by. Something's been taking the electricity out of my ordinary anticipation for my version of other things, or the things that everybody gets all worked up about. I'm in some kind of ashes-to-ashes and dust-to-dust phase. The usual electromagnetic fire dance has gone through some kind of self-immolation and now sits in that cremation urn on my mantelpiece, or would if I had a mantelpiece. What does it all mean? Depends on who you are. It means everything to everyone who hasn't found the eternal to replace the temporary, and none of it means anything to those who have. You find yourself in a situation where you have to do something through the course of a day because the days keep coming and you got to do something, so you do what you do according to the level of your understanding. We're not looking to spread or enhance a wider depression here. Most of the time, the timeless conversation, older than the wind they ride in on, they're taking place, and there's nothing in the world that can offer that'll measure up to them. And then there's those vacant pauses in between that looks like the rest of the world going on outside of them like traffic in the rearview mirror. Everyone seems to be headed in the same direction since everyone is on the same highway, but it doesn't work like that. Everyone is not on the same highway. The cars behind and in front of you are not in front and behind you, okay? The people sitting across from you in the restaurant are not sitting across from you in the restaurant. People in your class are not in your class. People in your family are not in your family. They're from another time, and you're filling in the blanks of the times and places from former times based on mistakes made. Well, from missing the mark because your aim was lower than what the situation required to cancel itself out. This is one of the primary agonies and torments of the army of sleepwalkers. They're born into environments that are irrelevant to the needs of the moment. It's the darkness of the break of noon on the island of blood ties. The source of vengeance and revenge, wanting things and people for the magnetic draw that conceals all the baggage that follows along behind them. We never see any of it. We just see the wrapper and the colorful advertising about the contents, which are not contained therein. We don't read the ingredients list and the contraindications. We don't want to know. That's what it comes down to. We don't want to know, and all the things we don't want to have happen, they happen. We hear the sound of a carbonated beverage going off in a glass. But what it is a seething anger of love suppressed. It goes on over and over. It's the broken record of redundant reincarnation, looping, looping, The escalator has stopped. The elevator is caught between floors. We hallucinate the alternatives because the reality is a desperation too painful to bear, and so we dream, and the dream becomes very real. The dream spares us the truth of the real appearances of the world. We cannot bear to look upon it and continue to live. Is this not one of the more unusual broadcasts who appear here? Well, I don't know. It's not what it seems. It's not the blues, and the optimism that is present is invisible because of the seemingly endless concealment of the real hiding in plain sight. There are no countries, there are no governments, there are no religions, there are no police and no prisons. These are the temporary constructs of the mind trying to come to terms with itself. The mind uses the external world to explain itself. It makes itself poor and rich based on its sense of self-worth. It imprisons and liberates itself depending on what it believes freedom to be. It punishes and rewards itself and confers the same upon others based on what it has been taught and based upon what got laid on it through telepathic invasion when it was too young and defenseless to know what was what or be able to protect itself. How did it get here? How did everyone you see and hear about wind up where they are? What convinces a man to go to war against someone he has never met based on reasons given to him by someone he doesn't know, but who somehow has the authority to do it because somehow he came to believe that they did? Why do people go to church on Sunday and repeat the same dry, dead words over and over again? Why do they sing the same ridiculous, boring hymns and hope that some kind of contact is going to take place? Meanwhile, the mind of everyone there is adrift on a ship of fantasy. There's that young lady in the Robert Burns poem, To a Louse. I can't understand the world the way other people see it. I can't understand it in terms of occupations and material aspirations. I can't understand it in terms of wives and children and parents. I see people's families as their ring of confinement, which provides security against the unknown, that very same unknown they came out of and which they inexorably move toward. The way I most clearly understand the world is through poetry and music and those relentless hands whose sole purpose is to pull my heart open so that the indwelling can express itself despite all my resistance to the contrary. Most people seem to think they have some kind of a choice, and they go around making choices and plans, not just for themselves, but for everyone in their care and in their company. Gibran had something interesting to say about that. He said, I forget what book it was in, but he said something to the effect that your children do not belong to you. You are the bow and they are the arrow. You can pull the bowstring back, you can aim the arrow, but once you release the bowstring, they are gone. They are no longer in your control, and in fact, they never were. All of us believe we're under control to this person or that system, this hierarchy, these beliefs, these traditions. We're not, but we convince ourselves that we are because of fear. The known is familiar. We believe it'll protect us. Fact, it is what kills us. The unknown is terrifying, but where it resides within it confers immortality, and that scares us too. Our liberator appears, and we lock our arms in the bars of the cell doors of our prison. We see the devil as God, and God is a devil. Once certain things become clear to you, you can no longer believe the lies you told yourself about what was important and real. You sit in a club or a restaurant, or you walk down the street, and you're aware of everyone around you, and you're aware of the tremendous gulf between yourself and everyone else. At the same time, you're intimately connected to them. You no longer have a personal mind. The infinite revealed to you the truth that you were not really contained within the limits of a personal self. You realize that you had no personal self. If you attempt to communicate this to others, they'll nod their heads as if they understand what you're saying, but they don't. They repeat the thoughts of others to you, depending on whose version most comprehensively fits what you're most comfortable accepting. These are not their thoughts. These are the thoughts of others long dead, whose perspectives acquired importance because their thoughts were recorded in books and they were made famous simply because their thoughts were within the acceptable constructs of the world and assisted those who manipulate them in their efforts to keep them on rails from the cradle to the grave. You see people desperate to have someone to love and to be torn apart by the changes what such a condition brings. You see people pursuing wealth and fame and power only to be torn apart by them and never actually possessing them because what they consider wealth is not wealth. What they consider power is not power. What they consider fame is not fame. At best, it is notoriety. All of these things come in their due course without the necessity of pursuit. Lifetimes are granted expressly for the purpose of experiencing these things. When they are conferred, they are real. When they are pursued, they are a mirage and the source of tremendous unhappiness. As Gautama said, and which is irrefutably so, all life is pain caused by ignorant desire. In the meantime, the pursuit of the divine contains within it every good and desirable thing with the ability to enjoy it by permitting the supreme enjoyer to experience it within you. This is also true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. People have heard those lines over and over, but it doesn't seem to compute. It is literally true, but it doesn't register. People read the words and nod their heads as if they were understanding it and then go right on pursuing everything else. This sort of thing is happening all day long, every day, all over the place. It's been going on for thousands of years. In the meantime, endless wars and terrible conditions, inquisitions, crusades, totalitarian governments, genocide, famine, plagues, Pandora's open box with nothing but hope remaining. Cassandra wanders speaking the truth, but nobody believes her. All of these things are attended and participated in by people who made appointments for it or believed in the reality of its occurrence. Today, millions of people march into one permutation or another, mistaking it for something else or believing they are right about something and willing to do whatever it takes to prove it. What they do is prove themselves wrong at terrible personal expense, which includes sharing it out with everyone else they come into contact with. I possess very little of what even the average lower middle class person has. In no time at all, I could be reduced to extremity. It has been that way for the near entire span of my life. I have indeed been reduced to extremity any number of times, but something has happened in the process, and the reduction to extremity has gone somewhere else, often other lives where it's desired more or is more relevant. Though I have next to nothing and have been remarkably unsuccessful given the industry I have invested, I consider myself one of the luckiest men on earth. This is because the pursuit and contemplation of the divine is my primary concern. Dominates my every day. It intimately involves me with seldom more than a few minutes of distraction at any one time. I engage in an ongoing conversation that happens several times a day, every day. I'm not alone in this, but it is fairly rare in Kali Yuga for a variety of reasons. I probably couldn't do it on my own, and I tend to believe that no one else can either, though there are any number of people who think they can. I'm sure that the first part of this broadcast was probably very disconcerting. Various segments might appear not to have a connection to the other parts, but just as all the parts of ourself have a connection to the main self, but in most cases, people are living in some part of themselves and not in the main self, and so the world is a magic show. It's a hall of mirrors and a fun house that is often anything but fun. There's a magician performing legerdemain and various other staged acts that look like one thing when they are another, and that is the point of the affair and why people do not see what is happening taking place because they are looking at one thing while another thing is happening. This is why politicians can sway crowds and why celebrities have an influential charisma. It is how demagogues and preachers of religion can impact on the minds of a collective gathered together for that purpose. It is why certain men can seduce women with a little difficulty. It's why certain women can do the same thing. It is why the military mind can instill a desire to kill into the mind that is not previously possessed of that motivation. It's why this planet is a prison planet. It's impossible to be free if the heart and mind are occupied with the things of this world. As soon as the mind is detached from this magnetic force field, one begins to live in another world while appearing to still be in this one. It's a very, very simple thing, but it requires constant application until the switch occurs. Majority of people will not invest the degree of time and energy required to accomplish this, and this is why there are all those instant or very quick systems that promise this with a minimum of effort. 3 weekends and a 4-day intensive at the end, and presto, you're a master. This is what the large majority of New Age programs are all about. This is why people can sit in front of a master or live in an ashram for years without getting the point, because you can also be right in the middle of the thing you seek and not see it because your attention is not on the thing itself. This is why authentic masters stress bhakti yoga and the most expedient and effective route. We live in an age of deep corruption, which is similar to being caught in the pull of a large ship as it's sinking into the ocean. I just read Monkey on a Stick again, and anyone who reads this must surely marvel at what took place in the Hare Krishna movement. Seems impossible to believe that it did happen. Recently, a so-called Hare Krishna master in India, a Westerner, was exposed as being engaged in group sex with his male followers and employing bondage and all sorts of strange behaviors and managing to explain it as something necessary to one's spiritual advancement. Unless a person utterly relies upon the divinity within and loves the divinity with a love greater than any love held for anything else, one is going to have problems, and there is no telling where those problems may lead. I know I keep banging on the same drum over and over again. Well, so does Lord Shiva, and he's well and timelessly advanced beyond me. Now, most people can hear what is being said here and nod their head and say, yes, this is true, or yes, this might be true, but the following result is to fall right back into material culture as soon as these things are no longer being said. People can look right at the rightness of certain things, and it just doesn't impact. This conundrum, this mystery should be the most compelling focus of interest. It should be on one's mind at all times. Why is this so? Why is it like this? As Ramana Maharshi said, just keep repeating, who am I? Over and over again. Eventually, who you are says something. If one is not obsessed with a curiosity about why their condition is what it is, they're not going to be able to change it, and suffering will be the guaranteed fruit of every thought, word, and deed. I'll leave it at that for the moment. Well, my friends, come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, well, it's my hope that an overpowering desire will ignite in your heart and mind and make it impossible for you to place your attention for very long on anything else. It is my prayer that the divine becomes the centerpiece of your existence, around which everything else, all those incidental and superficial concerns, rotates like planets in its gravitational pull, and which are consumed by it, so that your every thought, word, and deed will now have meaning because it is illuminated by the inner light which reveals its intrinsic nature. And this is exactly what happens. And if you read Patanjali's yoga aphorisms or any variety of things, it's all very well explained. Anyway, that said, my friends, Hare Krishna, Om Amitabha, Om Hari Sri Ganapatiye Namah Avignamasdu. Inshallah, Hail Lord Jesus Christ, Aloha and Aru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.